So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture, John chapter 11. Before I begin, also, Justin just told me a while ago, and I didn't know it, but Andrea Ziering, pastor's wife over between Climax and Wiggum area, that's been diagnosed with breast cancer. She has, I think, four or five children, and she's a very young lady still. And so if you would, just remember that family this morning. I preached over there a couple of times for Sweetheart Banquets, and I know that they would appreciate all the prayers that you could give. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 11, I begin reading verse 38. We're going to keep your Bibles open, if you would, because we're going to go back to the first part of the chapter in just a moment. But the Bible said, verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. And by this time, you know we're talking about Lazarus. It's a wonderful passage. But he said, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, and saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when that he that was dead came forth, bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, his face bound about with a napkin, Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning and share the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd empower me with your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that I'd not speak with what I have, but, Lord, I would speak what you have for us today from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen those. What a blessing to hear that song a while ago. I'm glad somebody came. And here we find some sisters that was concerned about their brother. Even though it was died, they lacked a little bit of the right kind of faith for a moment. But thank the Lord, somebody came and shared with us the truth of the Word of God to set us free. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. This is a wonderful text. I don't preach on it a lot, but it's a text that is a good text for funerals because basically it's really, it gives hope to the bereaved. Jesus said, if you remember, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that cometh to me shall have life. And I'm grateful today that he did that. So a lot of times I've heard preachers use this as a funeral passage in order to encourage them that one day there's going to be a resurrection day. Number two, we preach sometimes because it's a picture of salvation, is it not? Here we find a man that was dead, and the Lord walked to the tomb, and they opened the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and he did. Truly, it reminds us of our sin. Back before we got saved, the Bible said we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Do you know today somebody said, I wish Jesus still raised the dead? He does. Every time a lost person gets saved, he raises them from the dead. So he's still a miracle-working God. And it's a clear picture because he tells us that we are dead in our trespass and sin. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the passage also, I believe, could be used to preach a message on compassion. We find the shortest verse in the Bible in John chapter 11 that says Jesus wept. And the reason he wept is because he was concerned about his friend Lazarus had died. But I want to remind you today, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're going through, and I know people are going through a great deal of things right now. But can I tell you this? You can trust in the Lord. He cares for you. And I believe sometimes he may even weep over the situations that we're in because of the direction we're going and the things we do. But I want you to know, I'm glad to know today that my Jesus cares for me. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now that's a powerful text, and there's many ways that you could preach it. But again, you could teach it to teach the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the almightiness of God. But today I want to deal with it from a little bit different of a standpoint. And we will go back in a moment and begin to look at this whole setting of the story. But I want to deal with you about a different miracle. And this miracle, which we meant, I believe, showed the people the greatest need that they had in their lives. And I believe, and listen to what I'm saying, I believe it reveals to us the obedience to the will of God in all things. He said, "Preacher, that was Jesus did that. I understand that. But before you get through, I hope you understand there was a little bit more to it." I want to preach these verses today that we've read and preach about the question, where's your stone? In order for him to come out of that grave, that stone had to be moved. He could have done it himself. There's a lot of things he could have done. But he chose to ask them to move the stone. And that's what we're going to zero in today. And I believe there's all of us have stones in our life that hinders us from being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today I want to encourage you that we need to get rid of these stones. So I want you to go back now with me to John chapter 11. And we're going to look at the setting of the story. I'm just going to read these verses real quick. We all know the story. Here it is. Lazarus falls sick. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet and with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. In verse 3, his sister sent for Jesus. The Bible said, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." In verses 4 through 6, they plead with Jesus for his help. But what does Jesus do? He stays away two more days. This was urgent. Lazarus is dead. Somebody needs to come and help now. But what does Jesus do? Verse 4 and 5. When Jesus heard that he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, and to the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, I believe there's going to be special people in heaven that the Lord, I know that he loves all of us, but even John was a disciple that Jesus loved because he laid upon his breast and he loved Jesus. And yet we find here were some people. It was not that he delayed his coming because he could not do the miracle. He delayed his coming because he wanted them to see the power and the glory of God. Sometimes we question why the Lord allows things to happen. Sometimes we're going through circumstances. We pray for healing. It does not appear that God gives healing, but sometimes God gives healing in ways that we do not recognize. Now, by the time that Jesus decides to go to Mary and Martha, Lazarus has already died. Look with me down in verse number 7. "Then after he saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea." Well, in verse 6, it talks about he abode 2 days still in the same place. Not much of a sense of urgency. His disciples say unto him, verse 8, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, shall we do well? Howbeit, Jesus spake his death. But they thought he had spoken of taking a rest of sleep. No, the word sleep there refers to the fact that he had died. And then Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is dead. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Boy, what a thing to tell somebody to think. But he was glad. But he'd already ascribed to him what he was going to do. Oftentimes they didn't believe him. But he said, it was intent that ye may believe. And nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then Thomas, which is called Didymus, and his fellow disciples, said, let us also go that we may die with him. The fact of it is today, Jesus tells the men gathered together that Lazarus is dead. Verse number 15, he says he's glad that he waited. It seems almost if he's mocking them, but yet he told them what he was going to do. You know, Jesus tells us a lot of times what he's going to do, but we don't believe him. We don't trust him. We don't depend on him. And I think sometimes that the place that Lazarus went is a place we've never been. One day we all will, and when we step through that doorway, preached on last week, we're going to leave all our diseases, disappointments, and death behind. And we're going to a place that's far better than where we are today. I think of that verse that says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So while death is coming, we need not fear. Friend, if you're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He told us what he was going to do. What did he tell the disciples he was going to do to Lazarus? He said, I'm fixing to go, and I'm going to raise him up from the dead. They sometimes did not recognize it, realize it, but I want you to know we find him coming, but only Jesus holds the power to be able to free a man from his bondage and sin. He has promised us today, if we put our faith and trust in it, he will give us everlasting life. I'm telling you today, most important decision we'll ever make in our life is whether we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Whether or not we know we're going to heaven. Somebody told me recently, said, you can't know you're going to heaven. I said, oh, I can, because I trust the one who told me I could. I read in my Bible, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all this is going on. He's with his disciples. He's delaying his coming. But we go back to the home in Bethany where Martha and Mary are heartbroken over the death of their brother. I can't imagine what the feeling would be, but they watched as their brother grew weaker and weaker. And then they finally saw the time that death crept in and took their brother away. What did they do? They did the only thing they needed to do. They began to get him ready for burial. They washed his body. They anointed it with spices. They bound him in burial clothes, and they placed him in the tomb. Then they rolled a stone into place over the opening of the tomb and turned away their dead to weep and to mourn and to grieve for what they had lost. They mourned because they wondered why Jesus didn't come. I'll be honest with you, I know Mary and Martha loved Jesus, but I believe they got a little angry with him. Sometimes people say, well, I'm mad at God. I might just tell you that's not a good person to be mad at, but I would encourage you today to understand God makes no mistakes in anything he does. So here they are mourning. Their friends are gathered together to join them in the mourning. Verse number 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. But Jesus didn't arrive on time. We should have got somebody to sing the song, 4 days Too Late. That's a good song that talks about this story. But in verses 20 through 32, and I'm not going to read the entire story, but he delays his coming, and Mary and Martha are getting worried by this time. So oftentimes when death comes, we're disappointed. But if you're saved, we ought not be disappointed. We ought to be happy today. And friend, listen very carefully. Nobody has to walk out of this building today without knowing that they've been born again by the Spirit of God. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the Jews came to wrap with Mary and Martha to be sure that Lazarus reached the end of his time. They mourn and they weep with the sisters. Mary and Martha weep. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, what is he doing? Is he smirking because he didn't come? No, he's not. When he comes with compassion. He comes caring. In verse number 35, and let's read 33 through 35. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And she said, where have they laid them? He said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Sometimes I believe when we're at somebody's funeral and God's people are weeping because they've lost a grave person that meant a lot in their life. I believe today that many times Jesus may be weeping too because he loves us so much. He don't want us to hurt. He wants us to go through sorrow, but he wants us to understand the truth of believing him. The truth of obeying his will and doing what he'd have us to do. The Bible refers to him in verse 33 as he groaned in the spirit. The word groan there means indignation. It's a picture of indignation and anger. Perhaps Jesus is angry. What is he angry about? He may be angry about the unbelief of those weeping at the tomb. Perhaps he's angry about the effects of sin that's brought death and sorrow into the world. But yet here he is, he's weeping because he cares about them. The word troubled means to be agitated. He carries the idea of restless, of being shaken, of experiencing shock. No doubt, Jesus is not overtaken by the fact that Lazarus died. He knew that Lazarus was going to die. He knows when you're going to die, and he knows when I'm going to die, and we're in the Lord's hands. The word wept means to shed tears. Jesus knew that he was going, he knew what he was going to do. He knew Lazarus was fixing to get up out of there, but he told them it's going to be a time that's going to glorify the Father. Can you imagine being there when Lazarus came forth? I often hear people say this, and I don't know that it happened. I've said it myself many times. I'd like to be standing at the graveside when the Lord comes back and takes the saint of God out of it. I tell you, I believe that'd be a thrilling sight. You say, well, if he's going to take you, then you'll miss it. No, I'm going with them, but they got to come 6 feet further according to the Word of God. And so he's going to raise them first, and then we which are alive and going to remain shall join him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, death is a hard thing for all of us. Nobody likes to think about it, and there's nobody in this building that's not experienced in their family in some way or the other. But understand today, God is in control. Mary and Martha were good ladies. They loved the Lord as well as Lazarus did. And their doubting was simply because they did not want to put their total trust. They could not understand. They did not know why he did not do what they wanted him to do. Have you ever prayed and God just doesn't seem to answer your prayer? And then finally God answers your prayer and it's not the way you envisioned. It's not what you really wanted, but God answered your prayer. We talk about people that sick and people that pass on. And I tell you this, if you're a child of God, no matter what disease you have, when you leave this earth, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. You're going to receive the healing that only God can give. You're going to be in that place we talked about last week, a place where there's no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more death. So that's the setting. That gives you the story. But here we want to zero in on Jesus has made this journey to Bethany, and we're going to look at the stone. I want you to see the stone and the interest we find there. Now, he has been confronted by both sisters. They've run to him and they're mad. Obviously, they're experiencing something where they don't have trust. They said, Lord, if you had come, our brother would not have died. But you know what he did? He just said, where have you laid the body? The Bible teaches that the tomb back in those days were in a cave. It was an opening. And when you put the people in the grave, you covered it with a stone. No doubt a big stone or whatever that stone needed to be. But that stone was nothing but a piece of rock. But it held great power in the lives of Mary, Martha, and their friends. That stone stood between them and their brother. Go to the graveyard sometimes, and it seems as if that dirt and if that marker does not keep us from our loved one. I want to remind you today, if you're saved, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. I believe your spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it held great power. The stone stood between them and their brother. The stone hid the body of Lazarus from them for now. You ever said, boy, I wish I could just see him one more time. I wish I could just talk to him one more time. I just wish I could be there with them anymore. But it was that stone that was keeping them from seeing him anymore. It represented all their fears, doubts, and hopeless. They literally, in spite of what Jesus had told them, they obviously do not have the mind that Jesus is going to raise their brother. They are literally upset because he did not come. They're angry. They're filled with fear. They have doubt. But most of all, at that point, they had hopelessness. The stone was a piece of dead stone, but it was a powerful piece of dead stone. Jesus came to that grave knowing what he was going to do. In verse number 11, if you go back there, we go back to the very start. If you remember, when the disciples came, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now again, the disciples didn't even understand. They thought he was talking about he was resting, so he had to emphasize what he was doing. But yet he told them that he was going to go do that. Yet even they doubted. And so again, that stone marked there the doubt, the fears that they had. His disciples had been told, Mary and Martha had no idea what Jesus was going to do till he got there and told them what he was going to do. And then they had faith enough to believe. But you know what they was hoping? They were hoping for healing. But after a person dies, it seems almost like a useless prayer, don't it? Oh, no, not so in their case. They needed to keep praying. They needed to keep being diligent. But all they knew is their brother was dead. All their hopes were behind that stone, sealed in that grave, was their brother Lazarus. And no matter, you know, sometimes I go to the funeral home, and, I don't have words to say to people that have lost loved ones. I don't know what to tell people other than trust the Lord, but many of the people I go to visit with, they already know that. But yet sometimes that dead person, that family member, that person that has left us, all we can think about is they're not with us anymore, rather than concentrating on Jesus that promised to be with us through all eternity. I say more about that in a moment, but now let me say, we have stones that stand between us and God that He wants us to move. Those stones kept them from seeing their brother. Their stones kept them from being able to view Him and talk to Him and carry on conversation with Him, because that stone blocked the way. But today what I want to take this passage and share with you is all of us have stones in our life that hinder us from seeing God. Somebody said to me one time, I've never seen God. Oh, friend, I want to say today, I have seen God. I've not seen Him physically. I've not seen Him visibly. But the relationship I have with Him allows me to see Him on the pages of the Word of God. And when I read the Bible, it speaks to my heart, which I believe is God speaking to me. But yet in our life, we still have the old flesh. We still dwell in the flesh. We don't understand the spiritual things the way we ought to. And we don't realize what God is doing. But sometimes there's things that keep us from seeing God, from hearing from God. Little petty things. Sometimes it's a bad attitude. And I know today I'm preaching to folks at one time or another, you've had a bad attitude. I would raise my hand on several occasions that that's happened to me. But friend, I'm telling you, a bad attitude does not get the job done. It did not get them any closer to where they were, although Jesus does do what He said He was going to do. That bad attitude can keep us from a relationship with God. Sometimes it's unconfessed sin. Can I say to you today, it's important to confess your sins daily. I believe that God saves us. I believe He gives us eternal life. And I believe we're going to be saved all throughout eternity. But I believe every day that we live, we sin against God in some way or another. He said, I can't think of the verse there, but him that sinneth, says he sinneth not as a liar, but he says, confess our sin, because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, I'm not worried about Jesus coming, because when He comes, I'm going to heaven. You sure are. But have you heard about the judgment seat of Christ? I believe today there's a lot of people. Somebody said, well, I know I read that and all those things. Somebody said, well, what do we need to do? You need to confess your sin regularly so that you are caught up with your forgiveness and that God has forgiven you for those things. A lot of people just go ahead and do it and they ignore the fact that they need to confess their sin. I got to move. I'm just going to give these to you quickly. It could be because of the action of others, something somebody else did. I've heard people say, well, I would, but you know so-and-so, they hurt me a long time ago. They did this to me. It could be an unforgiving heart, not willing to forgive anybody. I don't have no right, and you have no right, not to be willing to forgive anybody, because Jesus Christ forgave us of all our sin, more than we could ever hope for and imagine. And today, to go through life as a child of God and allow bitterness or unforgiving spirit, I believe we're going to give account of that. I believe if you're saved, you go into heaven, but I believe we're going to be held accountable. Sometimes it may be a negative spirit. Sometimes it may be an angry heart. Sometimes it may be pride, and there's a lot of that. Maybe our opinions. Maybe misplaced ambitions. But I tell you, the past that we can't get past is the stone that hinders us from seeing God. And I know today this is a little bit different than you probably heard this taught. And just stay with me. But it can be any of 10,000 things that can keep you from God. Think with me this morning. What is it in your life that's keeping you from the blessedness of God? Oh, you're enjoying every day and enjoying life. But you know, if there's a stone in your life that stands between you and God, He wants it moved. Before we can see the power of God manifested in us, we must first get that stone out of the way. The stone in our life stands between us and God's best for us. If you're to see God, give that stone out of the way. Whatever your sin is, confess that sin and get right. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, hopefully you will now. Number three, submission. Jesus walks to the tomb of Lazarus and issues command. He says in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Now that's interesting, and maybe you've never seen it this way, but maybe you have. But verse 39, let's look at that. He said, take away the stone. Martha and his sister, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead. Now here's Jesus. He's there to heal their brother, at least, but they think he's dead, so they think there's no hope. He said, y'all move the stone. But Lord, you don't understand. Could I remind you, the Lord understands everything. There's nothing he don't ever understand, and it's nothing's ever occurred to God because he knew about it before it ever happened. Yet they complained that he had been dead for 4 days and he stunk. I don't think I would be, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that because I'd have probably been in the same category they were, probably even worse. But yet they hesitated to do what he told them to do. They wanted Lazarus. But they didn't want him back the way he was. They didn't want him back dead and decayed and dying, decomposing. And to open that grave would give them the most horrible perspective they'd ever seen in their life. No doubt they wondered why the Lord was going to punish them or aggravate them or do something to cause them anguish. They wanted Lazarus. But look what verse 40 said. Jesus said unto her, and I believe he kind of might have said it this way. I don't know. I know he's more gracious than I. But said I not unto thee? That's the way we'd say it, wouldn't we? He probably didn't say it quite that harsh. But he said, did I not already tell you what to do? That if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Here they are, they're doubting, but he reassures them. And what do? Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And Jesus stepped up, he prayed to the Father, then he shouted in verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now you say, I don't understand where you're going with that, and maybe you don't. But friend, what I'm telling you, God always uses people, not always, but majority of time in the Word of God, God used people to perform miracles. Remember the first miracle Jesus ever committed? It was at the wedding at Cana. He turned the water into wine. But what did he do before he turned the water into wine? He had the people go and fill them with water. He wants us to have faith enough to believe that he can do what he said he would do. Here he comes and he says to Martha and Mary, he says, move the stone away, but they were reluctant. They could only talk about the fact that he was dead. And they saw the Lord do something that they could not imagine. What they wanted and what they needed, what they longed for. Lazarus walked out of that tomb alive. Friend, I tell you, that's the same joy that comes when a person gets saved, gets born again by the Spirit of God. It ought to. If it don't stir your heart, something's wrong with your heart and something's wrong with your stirrer, because we ought to be excited when people get born again by the Spirit of God. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus could have raised Lazarus from the dead without them moving the stone. Can you believe that? He could have spoken the word and made the stone disappear. He could have brought Lazarus out through the stone without a problem. Jesus could have spoken and caused the grave clothes to fall off. But he didn't do any of those things. Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, before he worked this great miracle, before he moved in great power, he wanted them to do what they could do. And that's what Jesus wants us to do today, is do what we can do. Sometimes we're just as guilty as they are doubting that God can do. I've heard people oftentimes, we may be back in the past, we may be going visiting or we may be praying. And I said, y'all pray that God will give us a certain amount on Sunday. And inevitably, not always, it hadn't happened a long time, somebody said, oh, preacher, do you really believe that God can do that? I believe God can do anything he desires to do. And I believe today that he wants us to trust him and obey him and get whatever it is. And by the way, if there's something that is our stone that's hindering us from seeing God, then I believe as a result of that, it's because of something we've done Because surely it's not something he's done. He desires to come. He desires to do what needs to be done. You see, it's easy to roll away. It's not easy to roll away a bad attitude. It's not easy to roll away unconfessed sin. It's not easy to roll away unforgiven heart. It's not easy to roll away the actions of others. It's not easy to have a negative spirit. It's not easy to have an angry heart. It isn't easy to be taken by pride. It isn't easy to roll away our opinions. It isn't easy to roll our misplaced ambitions. It isn't easy to roll away some event past that we can't get past. There's a lot of people today that are struggling with the fact that they can't get past something that happened in the past. And because of that, that hinders them from seeing Jesus and walking with him as they should. Moving stones isn't easy. I don't know. It says Mary and Martha did it. So the stone was obviously had the ability, or they may have had someone help, but that's their names that's mentioned. Most stones are heavy, but they were able to roll it away. Stones are not only heavy, but they're very heavy and they're very big. Sometimes our problems start out small, but then they multiply into something big. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I just can't get the victory." Listen, I know people today that are bound in their life with alcohol and drugs, and my heart goes out to them, and I believe we ought to pray for them. We ought to encourage them and help them any way we possibly can. But friend, I believe today there's nobody on this earth that God is not able to heal or to help and meet the needs in their lives. It sometimes hurts us even to admit that there's things in our life, that there's some things that we need to get rid of. But with hard work, and even dirty work, it's a work that must be done. And it'll never be, God will never bless us until we get the stone out of the way. And I'd encourage you this morning, when we move our stones, we will not see God. And by the way, we desperately need to see God on a daily basis. Remember, and I've already talked about that, Jesus turned the water to wine in John chapter 2. They filled the pots. He did. He turned the water into wine. Mary, Martha, and the Jews could not raise Lazarus from the dead, but they could move the stone. I can't raise anybody from the dead, but I can move the stone that's hindering me from telling somebody about Jesus Christ. I can remove the stone that will help me to share the gospel with those around about me in order that they might be saved. So either the stones in your life be rolled away, or they stand between you and the power of God. Either the stone in your life will be rolled away, or it'll hinder your walk with God. Either the stones in your life will be rolled away, they'll keep your hopes and your dreams and your spiritual goals sealed behind that impenetrable death that is keeping you from Him. We know what we need today in the church. We need the power of God. We need the blessings of God. And I tell you, we can come here on Sunday and sit here, wear our nice clothes and enjoy the singing, and even listen to the preaching. But do we want to see? Listen to me. When I give the invitation, I want God to be working in people's lives. I understand you don't have to come to the altar every time the invitation is given if you don't choose. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Coming before the Lord and bow before Him and asking Him for His help. We know, the church knows what we need. Your home knows what you need. Your children know what you need. And they can see that in your lives. Either the stones in your lives to be rolled away, or all those things to be kept from you. What we need in our family, what we need in our lives. We know what we need. And I've heard people say, "Preacher, if I could just get rid of this problem, I know that I would draw closer to the Lord. I know that He could help me." Well, it's not going to be done easy. And although I believe God can, I believe God wants us to do what we can do so He can do what He wants to do. He wants to use us in that way as much as He possibly can. The stones stand between us and God, between His will and my will, between us, my power and His power, between us and His glory, between us and His work. I just wonder this morning, what is your stone? What is it that's hindering you from serving God? What is it that's hindering you from seeing God? What is it that you need to be doing? What is it the Lord's told you to do that you're not doing? You ought to try it if you're going to see the blessings of God. What a glorious end to the story. Mary and Martha were elated Their tears turned into joy, or either tears of joy. They were excited. Jesus had done what he said. But again, what would have happened if they had not rolled that stone away? Oh, as I said, Jesus could have done it. But you know what? He might not have chose to have done it if they could not comprehend and believe that he was going to do something great. And friend, today, until we get rid of those things that hinder us, we're not going to see God do things that are great. Oh, I'm not saying he don't do great things every day, but I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about a church on fire, a church that's growing, a church where people spiritually see God every day of their life because they read the pages of the Word of God. It's still between you and the Lord and his power. Has it already been moved? Perhaps some of you today has already moved that stone. There's been some stones in my past. I never related them to this. But there's been stones looking back in my life that I had to move them before God would hear and answer my prayer. Friend, understand that God wants to use us. Somebody said, God in the world, God has no hands except our hands. He has no feet except our feet. He has no voice. And again, I'm not taking away anything from the Word of God, but I'm talking about literal voice you can hear. He don't have a voice or use his voice because we are his voice. So many people are hindered. We're so caught up with the pleasures of this life. I guarantee you there's many things that hinder our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just simply saying today, we need to move the stone. We need to get right with God. And we need to pray for God a miracle. Somebody said, Cal sang that song this